Happy Monday, everybody. Today's episode of the Be Our Guest podcast is brought to you by the wisdom of Walt. Put Walt to work for you. How do you go from dreaming of a theme park to building one? Walt Disney laid the blueprint. Learn how he did it and how his wisdom can guide you toward achieving the things that you dream of. In the best-selling Wisdom of Walt, Jeff Barnes distills Walt Disney's vision, his knowledge, and his methods into a series of actionable lessons. Through historical vignettes about Disneyland, as well as plentiful examples and exercises, the Wisdom of Walt creates a framework through which you can apply Walt's wisdom to improve your career, your company, and your life. Learn to go beyond the berm with the secrets of Disneyland's success. Make a Main Street impression on everyone you meet, and create e-ticket experiences that keep them coming back for more. The Wisdom of Walt is available on Amazon in hard copy, soft cover, ebook, and audio versions. You can also purchase a personally signed copy at thewisdomofwalt.com. With the Wisdom of Walt, your success is just a dream away. Today's show is also proudly sponsored by our friends over at touringplans.com. Touringplans.com has the trip planning tools to show you the least crowded park to visit every day, customized touring plans for visiting Disney's best rides, honest restaurant reviews, how to save on Disney tickets, the best hotel rooms to ask for, and so much more. With the busy spring break season coming on you, you need to have a plan. Get around those crowds and see the most amount of attractions possible on that next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or even Universal vacation. Check them out today. Make your next getaway awesome. They're over at touringplans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1138 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you. And that's right, we are making our way through winter. I think the worst is behind us. Spring training is now in, down in Florida and Arizona. So, we're going to make it to the spring and then the summer. And we're getting ready for those 2017 Walt Disney World vacations. And we're getting you ready today with a trip report. And you will not believe this one. Our guest is reporting live from Disney's Yacht Club Resort. That's right, just arrived at the Yacht Club from Disney's Magical Express. Dean is joining us. She's from New Jersey, but right now, hanging out at the Yacht Club, like I said. Welcome to the show, Dina.
Thank you so much for talking to me. I'm excited.
So I think this is the closest anybody's been from stepping off a Magical Express bus to actually recording a podcast. So I really, really appreciate your time.
That's great. I do really feel honored about that.
It's funny. You're giving me updates. We're the next stop. Yacht Club. I'm like, oh, man, I wish I could trade places with you today.
I am very fortunate to be here. I'm very excited.
All right. Well, we're not talking about this trip because you've literally been there for 5 minutes. So not a whole lot to talk about quite yet.
Maybe
on a future episode, but let's talk about a very special trip for you that you took last year, and you guys stayed at the Polynesian. So walk us through this trip. Why was it so special?
So I have been to Disney World many times, but this was the first time I took my two small children with us. And my son was 3.5 at the time of the trip, and my daughter was 1.5. And I was very used to kind of planning these trips for all adults people, but I've never planned for kids before, so this was just a little different but very exciting, and it was all that we hoped it would be. It was great.
You know what? We get that question quite a bit here on the show on the Wednesday podcast when people are writing in, and we have that same situation very often where the couple or, somebody's just very comfortable with going down but only worried about, themselves or the adult type things. And then you have all these new wrinkles when you take the kids. You have all the stuff that comes with kids. How do you get it there? What kind of concerns will you have? Dining, we have high chairs and kids food and all that kind of stuff. So let's kind of go back to before you even arrived. How was your planning different, and what kind of resources did you use for this trip?
So yeah, it definitely is a whole other animal when you're talking about little kids and strollers too. So we started planning probably about 6 months ahead of time, just around the time you're able to start making ADRs. And I really liked the Touring Plans website. It was extremely helpful. And I was also a part of a really good Facebook group that was like a Disney planning Facebook group that helped me out with a lot of stuff too. And just friends at work, word of mouth, things that people did with little kids in the past. It really is nice to know a lot of people that have the experience too. One of my very close friends from work is a DVC member, so she had a lot of good tips.
Yeah, there's really nothing better than people who have been there, done that when it comes to something is stressful. And it is stressful, even though you know it's going to be fun, it's going to be exciting. You just have high expectations when your kids enter the equation. I can remember that with Mallory and even taking Paige, you know, years and years ago. So did you do anything to kind of prepare the kids? They're young, you know, so it's not like you can do a lot. But what was it like before you left for home? Like, did you try to get them ready, especially the older child? Or what did you do with that?
Oh, definitely. And actually, my three-year-old really liked listening to your podcast with me.
So that was awesome. One thing that we did. We're hits with three-year-olds. I love it.
There you go. New demographic. But he watched a lot of YouTube videos, and I didn't know how he was going to respond to the rides in particular, because he'd never been on any kind of ride at all before, not at any other place. So I showed him some of the ride videos from the ones I was planning on doing with him. And we watched the parades a few times. My daughter, who's now almost two, but she loves watching those Disney parades. And she really loves the Disney characters. Her third word was Mickey Mouse. Wow. So she really loves the Mickey Minnie world. So that's basically what I did. Videos, talk it up, just talk about it a lot.
That sounds good, because that way they're comfortable. You know, it's like, even though it's kind of a, you know, it's not firsthand experience, they kind of, I don't know, kids are growing up on screens all the time now. And so when they can see something, I think they feel a lot more comfortable. So that's a great resource, and it's everywhere. YouTube's everywhere. So let's talk now about getting there, because I know we used to drive back in the day when Mallory was a baby. I'm not a baby myself anymore. I'll actually get on an airplane. I love it now. But we used to drive through the night, and I mean, had to take a trailer. We had so much stuff. The transportation was a nightmare. So how was it getting from New Jersey down to Florida? Was it easy? Was there anything that surprised you?
No, it was super easy. You know, when we were little kids and we used to go, my dad is a truck driver, so we would get in the car in the middle of the night and we would be there by the morning. He wouldn't stop. He would stop one time on the way. So we have driven there quite a few times. We chose to fly this time. So we flew out of Philadelphia International. The airport is really very, very good. I feel like everything pretty much goes smoothly every time I fly out of there. My daughter was a lap infant, and my son had his own seat. He basically did some like scratch off puzzle books the whole time that we were on the flight. We packed a ton of snacks. My daughter fell asleep both on the way there and the way back, which was really very fortunate. Our flight out was very early in the morning. I mean, we're up early anyway with toddlers. So our flight out was at 8. So we set out of the house at like 5 just to get there and get situated. And our flight back home was about around bedtime. So that worked out for my daughter. She just kind of fell asleep naturally once we hit cruising altitude.
Nice. That's good. That's always good. I like to see when those kids are sleeping on those flights, because I like flying, but I really, you know, I don't want any screaming kids or anything. That could have been me. I know. So now you guys left really early. So let's talk about arrival, especially at the Polynesian. I mean, it's so just Disney, you know, it's like for a Disney fan, to me, it's just like when you walk up to the Polynesian, it has a smell, it has a sound, it just has this look to it. You guys got up early, so did you take it easy that first day and kind of enjoy the resort, or did you hit the ground running and take off?
No, we totally we got there at about, I'm going to say we got there at about like noon, 1 o'clock, and we checked into the room and we were off to Epcot. We did not waste any time.
So how's that go? I mean, I'm hoping it was okay still at 9 o'clock at night.
Yeah, no, we didn't stay until 9 o'clock at night. We stayed until about 6:30, 7 o'clock. So it was a half day there, but we got a lot of things done on our first day. You know, the first thing we did was we walked right over and got to the character spot and met Mickey and Minnie. My daughter loved that. She didn't want to go too close to them, but she loved them and would like just get very excited every time she saw one of them. And then we rode the rides. We did just a little bit of Future World. We had beer garden reservations that night, the beer garden, and ended the night with Soarin' Fast Passes, which was probably my favorite memory of the whole trip, was riding that ride with my son.
Awesome. Was that his favorite ride? Because I would think that'd be something the kids really like. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, and I didn't know. I didn't know how he was going to react because, again, he had really never been on anything. And when you're that little, you think that that's real. You know, you think that you're actually flying through the world. So he was just, and another couple was sitting next to us that were from Australia, and it was their first time riding the ride too. And just, I have never seen a happier person in my life than him on that ride, just giggling and completely just loving it. And they actually stopped me after the ride. And they were like, thank you for sitting next to us. We will never forget this because your son was just the best reaction ever to this ride. And just thank you for sitting next to us. So, and then he got to ride it again because the rider swapped. So that was, he really liked that ride.
Yeah, Paige remembers that. Mallory was the golden fast pass for her for a few years. She really enjoyed the ride with both of us.
Yep.
You know, your son probably thought the word vacation means flying, you know, jumping on an airplane and then, you know, going to Epcot and doing Soarin'. And it's like, you know, hey, everything's up in the air.
It's so true. Yeah, we did all the flying stuff on the same day.
That's awesome. Well, you mentioned Beer Garden. It's one of my, I like this place. It's underrated. So was it a positive experience for you guys?
Yeah, I thought it was great. The kids love the music there. There's like a lot of activities and singing, and it's a lot of entertainment when you're there. Like you're eating, and it's a good buffet. But I think the entertainment is a really nice part of it too. And it's right next to that little miniature train garden, which was a real big hit with the kids too. So that's a good area in the pavilions to walk around in there.
Yeah, I highly recommend that place for a couple reasons when you have kids. One, it's loud. You know, everybody's in there drinking like gallon, you know, mugs of beer. So it's going to be loud. There's an Oompa band and it's a buffet. So, you know, you can get up, grab your stuff and, you know, eat desserts if you want or whatever, you know. So it gives you options and it's not quiet. So the kids, if they get loud, nobody's going to notice. It's just a rowdy kind of fun atmosphere, eating with other people. I enjoy that. Man, it's actually a pretty good deal too. It's not one of the more expensive restaurants at Epcot. All right. So you have sounds like a very successful first day, kind of call it quits after, you know, a long day there, a little bit early. So how do you go about the next day? Do you get up early and head out?
So our next day was our first Magic Kingdom day, and we were hoping to kind of make it to Rope Drop every day. We didn't really make it to Rope Drop, but like kind of close to Rope Drop, like 10, 15 minutes after Rope Drop, because I just totally underestimated how long it would just take from point A to point B to get somewhere with the stroller and everything. And the kids, like, you know, somebody's dropping something or needs an extra snack or whatever. But once we got into Magic Kingdom, we had two full days at Magic Kingdom planned. And the first day, we were going to focus on Fantasyland. And the second day, we were going to focus on, like, you know, Frontierland, Adventureland, stuff like that. So first day, we went to Fantasyland.
So how did that go? It sounds like a great place to start with the kids, you know, because that's going to be really the bread and butter for that age.
Yes. So that was great. We did all the classics. We did Peter Pan. We did The Small World. We did Mine Train, which my son, I was like, I don't know, it's a roller coaster. He was just making the height requirement for it, but we went for it and he loved it. I literally had to like drag him off that thing. When he stopped, he wanted to keep going. So that Fantasyland is awesome. I mean, we started with like the most iconic, I think, part of Magic Kingdom, and it worked out.
Totally right. And I think Disney's glad to hear what you just said about Seven Dwarfs, because I think in essence, that's what they were going for when they created that attraction. You know, somebody that's a young kid that's just tall enough to ride it can get a kick out of it, you know, and somebody that's, you know, 75 and a, you know, 5-year-old at heart can ride it, and everybody in between. And I really do think that's the selling point of Seven Dwarfs. You know, it's not the most intense. It's, you know, there's longer rides, but it just kind of, there's something there for everybody. And I think that what you just shared there really kind of drives home that point.
Yeah, I think it hits a sweet spot. Like, it's good for the little kids, but it's also entertaining enough for all of us going with them.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so then that day also, we went to Crystal Palace. We had a late, like, brunch kind of scheduled, and Crystal Palace, it was all the breakfast food that was out. I thought the food was phenomenal. The puffed French toast, like, I still dream about that. The breakfast casserole and the breakfast lasagna, those are just really good. The kids love that. I mean, toddlers love breakfast food, so that was pretty much a no-brainer. I thought that the character interaction was a little bit rushed in Crystal Palace, but a good character interaction with the Pooh characters. And even though we were there, I think it was because we were at the end of the breakfast segment of the morning, we did wait a good 45 minutes, even though we had reservations. So that was like the only kind of tough part of the day. The kids were getting a little tired because it was closer to the end of the morning. But the food made up for it. It was really good, really good food.
I totally agree with everything you're saying about Crystal Palace. That's been my experience the times we've eaten there as well. You know, it's a busy place. Like, it's not only busy in the fact that when you're in there, it just seems like there's, you know, like the characters are trying to get to everybody and the food's great. I totally agree. I wish I was having a meal there in the morning. You know, now that I'm thinking about it, I'll be having some peanut butter toast instead of Crystal Palace. So I'm kind of jealous.
Yeah.
But, you know, but it is, you know, you always see the big crowds outside waiting to get in. And even with an ADR, it does take some time. So, 100% agree with what you're saying there. Now, let me ask you something here, kind of taking a break from the itinerary, but very important trip as you're taking the kids for the first time. So how are you going about documenting this trip? Because I know there's a lot of moments you want to capture forever. So did you use Memory Maker? Were you taking photos on your own? How are you trying to remember this trip for the family?
Yes, we did have the Memory Maker, and I highly recommend that because it just gets you all in the picture. And we tried to stop at as many Memory Maker spots as we could throughout the day. And that, I thought, was a very good value and like a good use of our time. And then I have a camera that I brought with me that I would snap photos as we went along. And then after we got home, what I did is I just wrote everything down that I could remember before it left my brain. And then I made a photo book out of it. So that helped.
Nice. Now, did the kids do autographs or anything like that? Because that can be, you know what happens with that, and I don't know if you did or not, but I can tell you from our kids, once you go down that path, you are forever stuck on the autograph path. There's never enough characters once you do the first one. I'm just warning you, you got to be careful when you introduce that.
Yeah, we did do the autographs, and actually we used this book called the Disney Encyclopedia of Animated Characters. It has like every character imaginable inside of it. It's like a book that I got off Amazon, and we had them sign their page of the encyclopedia. And so they look through that book every single day. My daughter picks out all of her signatures. So I can see what you're saying. I think that's going to be the little addiction in the future.
It's like, no, as a parent, you're walking down, I don't know, you're walking through anywhere, one of the four parks, and out of the corner of your eye, you see a character popping out. You're like, kids, look on the other side of the street here real quick and start walking really fast. Because you're going to like...
And it's so funny. My son knows all the ones that we met, but we didn't get them to sign. He's like, Mom, remember when Pooh Bear didn't sign the book that Eeyore did? Next time, we got to get Pooh Bear to sign it. So yeah, I think you're onto something. That's going to be part of our trip every time.
Yeah, it becomes like a parent challenge, you know? Like, how can we avoid the characters? Even though we love them, we don't necessarily want to wait in line for 45 minutes to meet Pooh. You know, just we do it for our kids. That's what I love. And it sounds like you're doing exactly the same.
Yeah.
So that's why you're there. So, all right. So walk us through the remainder of the itinerary, because I want to, you know, ask about some of your favorite meals and some other things. But highlights from the rest of your times in the parks.
So the second day that we were at Magic Kingdom was actually I don't know if it was the 40th or the 45th anniversary. But that happened, and with all the planning that I did, I didn't realize that was happening that day. And I was like, why is it so crowded here? And people were standing in this long line to get a button. It was kind of cool to be there on that day. It was like an important day, and we did end up getting the button at the end of the day. We met up with my in-laws on the last day that we were there, or the last day and a half that we were there, and had a really good meal at Ohana with them. They happened to be traveling down to Tampa to see friends and decided to come for a night to kind of spend time with us with our trip too. So that really worked out pretty well. And, you know, I think that just having those pictures and having those memories of all those things that we did is just priceless. But there were too many good moments to count. Ohana was awesome, though. That was a great moment.
Oh, man. You're killing me with all these great restaurants. You did it right.
I'm telling you. So we stayed at the Polynesian. I think we ate at every single restaurant in the Polynesian when we were there. We ate at Kona. We ate at Ohana. We ate at Captain Cook's multiple times. That is fantastic quick service place. And everything was like phenomenal. Ohana was a really good experience. Kona, the food is fantastic. The panis and noodles, highly recommend those. Those are amazing.
Get those every time. That's my go-to dish now they took away the teriyaki steak. It's the noodles.
Oh, I love them. No, those are great. But you can't go wrong with food there. And, you know, the night that we went to Ohana with my in-laws, they wanted to watch the fireworks. So you have a great view of the fireworks from the Oasis Pool. So they watched fireworks with the Dole Whip with the kids. And my husband and I went into Trader Sam's to get a drink at the same time, which I thought was going to be like a quick drink. I did not realize what a process it is to kind of get a drink to Trader Sam's. Like, it's a good process, but it's not like a quick stop for a drink place. Like, you sit, magical effects happen around you. It's pretty cool. But it's nice. That was a nice location, I think, to be in. We had a lot of, like, at our fingertips.
Yeah, Trader Sam's. I just remember we went there not too long after it opened. So they're, you know, of course, with everything nowadays, whenever anything opens, it's all over social media. But the thing was, I was trying to avoid all the spoilers and all the coverage because I wanted to, you know, actually have that experience of going there, kind of like you would have maybe 10 years ago. So we went in with a bunch of friends, and I didn't know that one of the effects, and spoiler, if you've not been there, turn us off like in the next 2 seconds. But my buddies, or it wasn't my buddies, but I was sitting back, but I noticed like the bar stool was slowly going down, and I'm thinking, is there a lot of alcohol in this drink? Because I really don't drink very much. You know, I just have like fruity drinks. But I'm thinking either that person's like falling out of his stool or that thing's slowly dropping, because I've never seen a bar stool go down on its own. But stuff like that is awesome. You know, that's Disney. That's fun. And that's why we're still talking about it.
Yeah, I thought it was so cool. I mean, we ended up spending a lot more time in there than we thought we were going to. And luckily, my in-laws were nice. They actually brought the kids back up to the room and put them to sleep for us. So we spent a little extra time.
So talk to us, though, about staying at the Polynesian just in general, because I think it's a bucket list thing for a lot of people that maybe have never stayed there. I'm included. I've stayed at a lot of resorts, not Polynesian. It just, to me, I make an effort every trip, even though I'm not staying there, to go eat at Kona or go to Captain Cook's or get a Dole Whip at the Pineapple Lanai. You know, I just want to be there to watch Wishes or something. Well, I guess you can't watch Wishes for much longer, but you may happily ever after, maybe in the next few months. But it's just, to me, it's like an extension of the Magic Kingdom, which it's meant to be, you know, Adventureland. But what was your experience there? Did it meet your needs? Did it meet your expectations? Or was there something maybe it left that you wish could have happened?
Oh, it was totally convenient to stay there. I mean, the big reason we stayed there was because we knew we wanted to be on a monorail resort with ease for the kids and transportation. And the added bonus for the Polynesian is it's walking distance to the ticket and transportation center. So the only two parks that we went to were Magic Kingdom and Epcot. So we didn't have to get on a Disney bus at all the entire time that we were there. We just rolled our stroller right on and off the monorail. And there was one day that the monorail was down, and it was super easy to just walk over to the ticket and transportation center and hop on the ferry as a plan B. It was very convenient. I thought, you know, it saved us a lot of time and headache to stay there, but also just the atmosphere there is so fun. The theming is really good. You know, you walk into the Great Ceremonial House and it's like, whoa, it just hits you. It's just massive and cool, and you can tell there's a lot going on. And we stayed in the Samoa Longhouse, which is right next to the Oasis Pool. So the pool area was great. I mean, I can't say enough good things about that hotel. That we'll definitely hopefully go there again. We're going to Wilderness Lodge next time, and you helped us book that trip.
Yes.
But that was on my list too of great places to go. But I'm definitely going to go back to the Polynesian. It was great.
Yeah, you're going to love Wilderness Lodge. It's like I tell everybody, it's when you're there, you're thinking, man, we are like way remote. Like, we're way out here. You know, like, we're all by ourselves. But then it's like you hop on a boat, boom, the contemporaries, you know,
within 2 minutes. Right there.
It's so weird. Like, it feels so far away, yet you're right next to the Magic Kingdom. And I think that's one of the beauties of the Wilderness Lodge. It's exactly what they're going for, I guess. But now let me ask you real quick about the room in the Polynesian itself. So was it sufficient? Yeah. Did it have everything you need? Because, I mean, when you have kids, you have stuff. And, you know, you have a lot of things you got to worry about. So was the room working out well for the kids?
Yeah, we got a standard room, and it was big. We had plenty of room for a pack and play for my daughter to sleep in. The room, we actually had asked for a 2-queen bedroom and ended up with a king bed. And then once we got in there, we were like, actually, this might work out better because my son just slept in between the two of us. We thought maybe he would sleep on the fold-out bed, but in a king bed, a toddler is not a big deal. He just slept right in between us. It definitely felt like everything was there. We got a grocery delivery to the room, so there was plenty of room in the fridge for I wanted to have milk in the fridge and just cereal for the mornings and things like that. We definitely had enough room, enough amenities.
Man, sounds like a great stay. It makes me want to book the Polynesian right now. I'm going to have to, maybe, I'm trying to think, maybe a monorail resort for a marathon weekend 2018. I don't know. It could happen. We'll have to see because you're
maybe
definitely selling
maybe one of those houses right on the lake.
Hang on.
Maybe time for one of those bungalows.
Remember now, I'm a school teacher. I don't think that's happening. I don't know if that's happening, but I'm sure it.
Maybe Disney will get you some kickback.
That's it. Come on, man. We've done over 1,100 podcasts, Disney. Hook us up. But I don't think they listen.
Exactly.
It's probably better.
I think it's well deserved.
I appreciate that. We'll have to pass the word on to Iger and see what he says. I don't know if that's going to happen, but it sounds great. Now, let me ask you one more thing before we go. And I appreciate your time because I know you just landed at Walt Disney World and got a great experience coming for you the next few days. What lesson did you learn for taking the kids for the first time? Because I think that, again, we have a large audience of all kind of demographics, like you mentioned, and there's a lot of people tuned in today that probably have questions about taking their kids. Maybe they're expecting, or maybe, their kids are little and they haven't gone yet and they want to make it happen. So what could you tell them that maybe they can use to make their trip even better?
Yeah, I think the main thing was that just allot yourself a lot of time to get where you want to go and to just know, kind of anticipate when your kids are starting to get tired. And it's okay to take breaks. It's okay to take naps. We took a break every single day that we were there, the hottest part of the day. And I didn't know what my kids were going to do when they got there because they had never been to a theme park. But I think it's also good to try to test out little things, test out rides that you don't know if they're going to like. And I would have never guessed that my son was going to be a roller coaster rider, but he turned out to be one. So I guess just know your kids, but also, challenge them a little bit if you can.
That's awesome. Now, are the kids all really pumped to go back? I mean, I'm sure that now they've had a taste of it. Is it something? I know, Mallory has grown up with it. She's very lucky because I never got to go when I was a kid. I'm so jealous of her. I think I'm trying to make up for my childhood with my kids. We didn't get to go, so you get to go a lot. But, is it something like when they see the Disney Channel on or, hey, we're, or they see a commercial on TV, I can't wait to go back. I mean, do they realize that yet?
Yeah, my son definitely does. My son is 4 now, and he knows everything that happened when he was there, and he has a pretty good memory for everything. So he's definitely excited. He already knows what rides he wants to ride. He's big into dinosaurs right now, and even the dinosaur is kind of a scary ride. I showed him the video, and he's like, Mommy, we have to go on that one.
You got to show me that picture, though. So, I got to see that one, because Ricky won't even ride that one. So
I will probably be the most scared person on the ride, I'm telling you, because I'm not a fan of the dinosaurs myself. But but he was interested in it, so... So he's really excited, and even my daughter and my parents are coming on this trip, so that's fun. And they're Disney lovers too, so they're really happy and excited that they're coming.
This is why I love having this show, because I love hearing about trips like this, the family coming together, making memories for a lifetime. And that is what Walt Disney World's all about. I know we talk about all the things that are happening, whether we like something or we don't like something, with a change or something new, something going away. But in the end, this is really what it's all about. It's about making those family memories and just really bonding over some great meals and some great experiences. So, Dina, I know you're busy, and I appreciate you taking the time late tonight down at Yacht Club.
Thank you for talking to me at a little bit later time. No, I'm really happy that we got to talk. I've been looking forward to coming on the podcast and doing a trip report. This is awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, I can't wait to talk about Wilderness Lodge. So you have a great trip down there. We'll talk again soon. Thanks again, Dina.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right. Don't forget, today's show brought to you by the great folks over at touringplans.com. Make your next Walt Disney World, Disneyland, or Universal vacation great by seeing the most amount of attractions and staying out of lines. Check them out today over at touringplans.com. And do check out The Wisdom of Walt. I'm said Magical Mouse Radio. Not yet. The Wisdom of Walt. When you need a good read and you need some inspiration as well, pick up The Wisdom of Walt. Just drop by thewisdomofwalt.com or drop by Amazon. You can pick up a hard copy, a soft cover, an ebook, or even an audio version, great for the podcast listener. Again, check it out. The Wisdom of Walt, available at thewisdomofwalt.com. Do check out Magical Mouse Radio, great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, right there at magicalmouseradio.com. And catch us on the social media. We love talking to our listeners. We're on Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestMike. And we got a great Facebook page at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And don't forget, we'd love it if you could support the show the next time you're on Amazon and you're picking something up. Just go to BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon and purchase whatever you need there. And we'll get a little bit of a support there through Amazon to help pay for some of the bills for the podcast as we keep growing. So we appreciate you so much for doing that. All right. Well, it's time to get out of here and let you get on with your Monday. Thank you so much for checking in. We love it each and every time you listen to the show, download the show, and spread the word. So again, thanks so much for being a part of the Be Our Guest podcast family. So for Dina, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Monday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.